CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We are so happy you've joined us. Look forward to being with you, as we always are every weekday afternoon at this time. We set this hour aside to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at what's going on in our world from a Christian perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it really God's word or man's tradition? And so if you got a question you'd like to ask us, we'll do our very best to tell you what the Bible says on that topic. And I think you'll enjoy that. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. And you can be part of the program. Joining me today, special guest and friend of mine, dearly, Joe Jackson from Kau, Hawaii. Yes, that's right. On the east side of the island, Sure Foundation. Hi and welcome.
Hey, Pastor Mike. Great to be on the show with you and with all of our listeners. And it's so good just to spend this time looking into God's word, talking about God's word as we see different things happening in our world. And I'm just so grateful we have this foundation, God, His Holy Spirit, His word, to give us guidance and direction in a world where a lot of people are confused. And so I always look forward to the questions to coming in, and it's great to be on air with you today, Pastor Mike.
Yes, and we don't plead the fifth here. That's right.
That's right.
We'll tell you the truth. Oh, man, I'll tell you, it'd be sure be nice to see that in government officials, but they get caught, just plead the fifth, I guess. I don't know. Maybe
we don't have to be politically correct.
No.
We don't have to plead the fifth. We can just say what the Bible says.
Or drink a fifth.
Yeah, that's right.
Either. I don't know. Yeah. Joe, what are you teaching on this Sunday?
Yeah, so we'll start a new message series where we're going to be going through the Gospels, and the message series is called Game Changers. And the idea is that just a moment in Jesus's presence can change everything. You know, there's so many encounters in the gospel where people just had one moment with Christ, and because of that, their life was changed. And, you know, I know even in my own life, just a moment in God's presence really changed my life, brought freedom in my life from addiction and habits I had. And I know that still to this day, years later, decades later, I still need His presence and that time with the Lord to bring change in my life. And so we'll be talking about that and looking at that, Game Changers, this Sunday. Of course, we have services here at Sure Foundation at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So if you're here on Big Island, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, just follow Highway 130 south out of Hilo and branch off Highway 11 there by Kau. Just stay on that road about a couple, 3 miles or 4 miles or so, and you'll see the church with a white picket fence. I know Joe would love to see you, and be sure to say, hey, I heard you on the radio. It's always so good when we get to listen and talk to our friends that are part of our radio audience. Same for us here in Twin Falls. If you're in the Southern Idaho area, love to invite you to church this Sunday morning, River Christian Fellowship. Follow the signs of Shoshone Falls. It'll take you right to the church, right on the corner, right before you get to the waterfall. And we would just love to say hi to you. I'm going to be teaching this Sunday on being thankful. You know, it's one of the things that unlocks the power of God in our life. There's an old saying, if you're unthankful for what you have, you'll be unthankful for what you get. And so we're going to talk about how to reassess and how to be thankful in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. Because when you add Jesus into the situation, it changes everything. And so that's this Sunday, 10 o'clock in person at the River Christian Fellowship, 10:30 on the radio, on the CSN radio stations, Mountain Time, just adjust your clock for that, and of course, around the world. I don't know if you know this, Joe, but we have over 660,000 people who listen to CSN outside the United States on the internet, almost 1 million people. I believe that's a pretty old number. It's probably closer to 1 million now. But I'm always blessed to see the outreach that we're That's all right. able to do together. Everybody listening, everybody that prays, supports us. Hey, this is something we do together. We could never do individually. Yeah. And again, to touch the world while we still have time. So being about our Father's business, so important.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I just love about this ministry, CSN, is the fact that when we share the gospel, the message never changes, but the ways we share it, the method can change. And so even just the method of today, using technology to take this message global, such an awesome thing. Of course, not only on the radio, but on Rumble and on YouTube and different clips that are out there too, reaching people. And so I just appreciate the ministry and the global reach it has because of listeners willing to support. And then even just the wisdom of using the tools we have today to share God's word. It's Amen. A great thing.
Yeah, it's great. So I, again, thank you, everybody. And again, if you want to be part of the program, to get some lines open, 8888 ask CSN. And we have Alicia on the line in Florida. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Oh, I do have a prayer request. It's for a friend of mine.
Okay.
And his family. About roughly a week and a half ago, they went out, and the mother-in-law was in the house with the, I think they had like seven animals, mm-hmm. and there was a fire. And it was a total loss.
Oh, no.
And as a result of smoke inhalation, his mother-in-law died too. The firemen were able to get in and get her out, but it was too late. But his faith is strong. But I just ask for it. It's a difficult time for them. Like I said, it was a total loss plus the loss of life. You know.
Yes.
I would appreciate if our other brothers and sisters would keep them in their prayers. They're struggling, I mean, right now. But the attitude that they have is awesome.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, that's really, really hard. Father, we just lift up this family. Thank you for the concern of Alicia, for her friends. And we just ask you that you would comfort them. Lord, I pray that if they are believers, that you would just send believers around them to really help them rebuild. Lord, if they're not believers, that they would understand the importance of coming to you and surrendering their whole life and heart to you, because everything can change so fast. We think things go on and on day after day, year in, year out. But Lord, just we see so many things right now in the world changing so quickly. And so we just pray that you would just wrap your hands around this family. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's just so hard in this life. There's things that happen that are tragic, and we don't always understand why. But, you know, we as believers have that hope that even in these hardships, we're not alone, that God is with us, and that it's during these hard times that he's really close. In fact, the psalm says that God is close to the brokenhearted. And so we know that, and we pray that right now for that family and what they're going through, that they would just sense that closeness of God in their life to help them through this difficulty.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yes, name. Alicia. I mean,
yeah, they're all believers.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. Are they part of the fellowship?
Yes.
Well, that's...
And you know what? I want to say thank you so much for your love for everyone. Thank you.
Well, God, you know, God loves the brokenhearted, and he loves those that have suffered loss. You know, this world is under a curse, and I know that God's heart is to redeem us from that. And so we'll trust God for some real great miracles in this situation. And again, our heart goes out to them, Alicia. Tell them we're praying for them. And
I will.
We'll see the great things God does. Let us know, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
God bless you. And thanks so much for being a concerned sister in the Lord. That shows God's a great love. Again, 8888, ask CSN if you want to be part of the program. We have John in New Mexico on the line. Hi, welcome.
Yes. Hello, Pastor Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, came across a YouTube video with Tim Barton from Well Builders, and I said something pretty fantastic. fantastic to me. He said that there was 100 Bibles went up in Apollo 14. They left one there, brought 99 back. And then he also said that on Apollo 11, they had communion on the moon. And that sounded so fantastic. I just want to get your thoughts on it.
Well, I really can't comment. I have not heard that. I do believe, I do remember something about communion on the up there. The one thing I thought was amazing, some of the first broadcasts that came back, was that there was the Bible reading. And in fact, there was some different groups trying to ban Bible reading from the astronauts and things like that. I don't think it went anywhere. But the point is that, you know, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. This is his domain. And I often think that it's interesting that when I see these astronauts go and they are outside of the Earth's domain, that there seems to be a quickening of God in their hearts. And I've heard this even from the Russian cosmonauts as well, that there's a sensitivity towards God that seems to be bound here on this earth. Now, again, the Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air on this earth. This is his domain. Again, I think when we move away from this place, I think sometimes people pick up a spiritual aspect that, in their life that they may have not known before. Your thoughts?
Yeah, John, thanks for sharing that, because I learned something today. I didn't know that. And so that's awesome to see in our history, just that honor there was for God. And, you know, I will say that in the later 60s and 70s, America as a nation, we were more of a godly nation. And of course, as they took prayer out of school and things like that, you know, I can't imagine today that if we go back and land on the moon, they would probably not do something like that or mention it. But just to see the heart America had for the Lord back then, and tragically how it's not there as much anymore. And so I'm glad to hear that and just see that that happened. And even I heard the same thing as well, Pastor Mike, that many astronauts, as they look down at Earth and just realize how big our galaxy is, it gives them a fascination with how big our God is that holds the cosmos in their hands, and how there's all these wars and things we worry about here on Earth. Those problems seem a lot smaller as they just recognize how fascinating and incredible our God is. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, you know, the Bible says, what is man that God would be mindful of him? And, you know, yeah, we find in John 3:16, again, God's great love for the world, that he wants to redeem everybody that would come to him. And so, again, I just think, John, that's such an amazing thing when we start looking at all these things and realizing that, you know, it seems that this is what Satan, you know, Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. I thought that's an interesting statement, because if he fell like lightning, he fell from where to where? Well, we know he fell from heaven, but where did he fall to? Has to be this earth. And we find even in the book of Job, God says to Satan, where you been? He says, I've been walking up and down on the earth, traversing it. And I think it's interesting that this is his domain. Again, I look at those that are able to escape this earth's pull, you might say, begin to have an encounter with God. And I think that's always an amazing thing that backs up what the Word of God says. John, hope that helps.
Now, since you brought that up, Pastor Mike, I just also came across my mind that when Satan met with God, did he meet him in the third? It couldn't have been the third heaven. It had to be in between, right?
When Paul did?
No, when Satan met with God and he asked him where he had been going up and down.
Oh, in the book of Job. I believe that was actually probably in heaven. Now, let me just explain. Satan's access to heaven has not yet been revoked. His position has been revoked. He's no longer a cherub that would cover. He's no longer this one without any flaw in him that we read about in Isaiah 14. So we realize that positionally, he has been removed from his position. His access to heaven does not happen until we get to Revelation chapter 12 and 13, where it talks about that that there's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, the devil and his demons fought, and there was found no place for them in heaven anymore. We know the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses them day and night. So whatever he was doing kind of with that whole scene with Job, we find that evidently he's still doing it, accusing the brethren day and night. I really believe that this is in the throne of God. I don't believe it's, you know, some intermediate, you know, gas station on the road to heaven or something. I really think it's actually in the presence of God, in presence of all the holy angels as well. His access to heaven is going to be revoked. He will no longer ever again be able to accuse the brethren day and night. He will be cast in the lake of fire that burns forever. And that will be the final end of him. And unfortunately, those who join in with his rebellion, whether it be the other fallen angels or human beings that reject Christ. So, John, hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, John. Stay on the line if you like. Send you a little book called Time to Grow, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. We have Brian on the line in Rapid City, South Dakota. Hi and welcome.
How you guys doing?
It's good.
How
may we?
Caller, long time listener.
Wonderful. Nice. We're glad you called.
Yeah, thank you. So this is a bit speculative, but I'm super curious because you guys have a lot of good insight sometimes on these things. So Jesus died for our sins on the cross.
Yes.
And we know what he went through to get there. We know all the pain and the punishment that he endured to get there at the hands of man. Then it says he descended into hell for 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he preached to captivity.
I don't know if we know this, but did he continue to suffer for our sins in those 3 days in hell as well? Or was he kind of untouchable? Because, you know, I'm Jesus and everything.
No, absolutely not. Jesus' last words on the cross, one of them was telestai, and that means it is finished. And it is finished means it is finished. Jesus did not in any way, shape, or form suffer in hell, go to hell, and was punished down there. He went to Sheol. Sheol was divided into two compartments. The paradise side, the Abraham bosom, that Lazarus went to. And then there was the torment side of Sheol. Now, again, that word comes across in English as hell, but it's improper. It is Sheol, the place of the dead. And not dead in that they are asleep or not conscious. That's the reference when they leave this earthly shell, but their spirit lives on. It goes somewhere. Some, the Bible says,
and that's the place they that's the place they reside until the end of Revelation, where everybody is book of life thrown into the fiery pit.
For
they go to Sheol, right?
For
they're
the
kind of held there in this.
For the ungodly, yes. Now, for the righteous, absent in the body, present with the Lord. Why is that? Because just because an evil person, when they die, doesn't stop the evil that they put into motion. You think about somebody that started a cult. Maybe there was only a couple dozen when they started it. Now there's millions. Yes, there's going to be a judgment for somebody that loveth and maketh a lie and mislead people into hell forever. No, I really believe that as you look at these despots, these world leaders, whether it be Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong, Adolf Hitler, these guys, they're going to have a tremendous judgment of what they did to humanity. And I believe that, again, when we look at this, but just because they died doesn't stop the wickedness as they set in motion. No. And so why is the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial reign of Christ? Because that's when everybody's works have come to full fruition. Now, we that are in Christ, the Bible says that we're rewarded with him at the Bema Seat judgment. Everybody will stand before God in a judgment. Some to everlasting condemnation and judgment. Some will stand before God in reward. Now, if you're a Christian, absent from the body, present with the Lord, in the Greek, that word is immediate. Absent the body, present with the Lord. That word present is immediate. Boom, boom, that fast. And so your body, yeah, it's going to go into the ground, awaiting a glorified body that's going to come at the rapture. Paul says, in a moment, twinkling of an eye, those that are dead in Christ rise first. They get their new body. Then we who are alive and remain are transformed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. This mortality puts on immortality. We're going to be transformed. Now, notice it's towards right before Jesus comes back to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Paul says, we're not exactly sure what we're going to be, but we know when we see him, we're going to be like him. And so I look at the body Jesus had. He offered Thomas, put your fingers here in the holes in my hands and thrust your hand here into my side. Yet Jesus said, do you have anything to eat? And so he could still eat, yet he could vanish out of their sight. So this is going to be a real unique body we're going to get. It's in a dimension much different than the one our current body is in. But that's, I think, part of the ruling and reigning with Christ. And that's when everybody, all those that died in faith, get theirs is right before we come back and rule on this earth with Christ for 1,000 years. We're his militia. We're his enforcers of righteousness on this earth. And for 1,000 years, this world, Satan will be locked up for almost that entire period of time. And the world will live in perfect government, perfect environment, perfect food, perfect monetary system, perfect everything. And yet in all that, to prove everything that God ever said, Satan is loosed, and as sand is on the seashore, they come to rebel against God after living in a perfect world. Amazing, the hardness of men's heart. So when we look at this, again, Jesus went, the Bible says, and preached to those in captivity. In other words, the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament could not remove the sin. It could cover it, thus they're in Abraham's bosom, but it could not remove it. And when the supreme sacrifice was made, telestai, it is finished. It's all done. Man's redemption is now complete. He preached to those in captivity, the Bible says, speaking of Abraham's bosom, and he led captivity captive. In other words, the supreme sacrifice is made. Took them all to heaven. I think that's great. And those that died in rebellion to God, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. In Hebrews 9, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And again, their wickedness that they started in motion, even though they've left this earth, is continuing to escalate. And oh, what a terrible, terrible judgment they will have. That's why today's the appointed day of salvation, not only to have your sins forgiven, but those things that would rack up after you're gone. Boy, I'll tell you, you stop to think about that. It's pretty serious. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I just totally agree with that, Pastor Mike, that Jesus suffered fully on the cross, and that when he died, his suffering for our sin was complete. In fact, one of the ways we kind of see this is after Jesus dies on the cross, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And it's interesting, it's torn from the top, signifying it was God that tore this veil. And really the symbolism we see there is that now there is a new covenant. That, as you mentioned, there was an old covenant of people making atonement or just covering sins by going through the high priest. And the high priest, once a year, would go into the most holy place behind this veil and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat for atonement for the people. But as Christ dies and he says, it is finished, tetelestai, all of a sudden we see that veil in the temple torn, which means we no longer go through a high priest here on earth, but Jesus, being our great high priest and suffering and offering his blood, completed the work of the new covenant and forgiveness we have in him. Now, some people will ask about verses in 1 Peter and in Ephesians, wondering if Jesus suffered in these places. But those passages say that he proclaimed victory and he descended to the realm of the dead, but they do not say that he continued to suffer there. They have to add that in there. We also know that he tells the repentive thief on the cross, that today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, paradise doesn't sound like a place of torment or suffering, but it points to victory and fellowship. And so just the bottom line there is that Jesus' suffering for our sin was completed on the cross. After his death, he entered into the realm of the dead and he proclaimed victory there. And then on the third day, he rose again so that we could have his Holy Spirit as he ascended and left the promise of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, and that we can have forgiveness through his blood that doesn't just cover our sin, but it washes us white as snow. Pastor Mike?
Amen. So I hope that helps, Ryan.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, thank you. I knew you guys could give a little bit more insight on that. Thank you for the point about the curtain being ripped from the top to the bottom, because that's actually a really good visual from the fact that if man had torn it, it would have been from the bottom to the top. But since it was God that tore that, it would have been from top to bottom. I think it's really deep. That's really it's amazing the intricacies of the Bible and all the little teeny tiny things that most of us miss when we're reading through it. So I really do appreciate your guys' insight, and I pray for your ministry. You're doing a great job.
Wonderful, Brian. And something to remember, the priest could only go behind that veil once a year to make intercession for the people. The priest's job was to represent the people to God and God to the people. And it's interesting that Jesus, as we look at who we are a kingdom of priests unto him. We represent Jesus to the world and the world to Jesus. This is what we call intercessory prayer, where we pray for our lost loved ones and those kinds of things. And so we have quite a responsibility. Again, it's all because of his great love for us and that supernatural Holy Ghost infused love for the lost that God put in our, you know, it's interesting. Jonah was a world evangelist. He went to Nineveh, but he didn't have a love for the people he was ministering to and hoped God would destroy him. But we're different, and we have that boldness. Hope that helps. And 8888, Ask CSN. We're coming up on a break. We'll be right back.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Joe Jackson. He's the senior pastor of Sure Foundation Fellowship, Kiau, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, Hawaii, on the Big Island. And if you're on the east side of the Big Island, I know Joe would love to see you this Sunday morning. Joe, what time's your services?
Yeah, so we have service here at Sure Foundation at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. And of course, if you want to find our location and learn more about the church, you can always go to surefoundation.church and find out everything that's happening right there on that website.
Amen. So, yeah, you can check that out. I know we'd love to see you. And again, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd love to see you here at the River Christian Fellowship. Follow the signs of Shoshone Falls, the magnificent Niagara of the West, and just follow the signs. And we're just about a mile or two from the Great Waterfall. And so we'd love to see you here. And back to the phones we go. We go 8888. Ask CSN is the number to call. We have Paul on the line, South Carolina. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, pastors. Absolutely love your show.
God is good.
Yeah.
Have a little predicament we're having with something that came across last week. Member from my church, actually he's a deacon in my church. Before my wife and I started going to this church, which we've been going to for almost a year and a half now, I had a Twitter or whatever it's called now. We somehow became followers each other. I don't know him really at all. But last week I got a notification that I needed to log into my account in email. So I logged into the account, and first thing was from this guy. Mm-hmm. I just started looking through some of his stuff, and there were some very racial posts out there, to say the least. Most of them were I think memes, or what do you call them, where using the N-words, kinds of things.
Terrible.
Very graphic, very, very horrible. And I don't feel that there's any place in church for that, especially when you're in a leadership like a deacon. I made this aware to our pastor, so he could hopefully address it. He has not really done anything. My wife actually spoke to him yesterday, and he said that he talked to him. He was very apologetic, and he was taking everything down. Everything's still up there. So I don't know if he's lying. I don't know if the pastor actually talked to him. But my question mainly is, what do we do at this point? There are other congregants that now know about it. But just being in church on Sunday, I'm looking in the choir because he's also in the choir. And I'm sitting next to a young black man on my pew and looking at this man, knowing obviously what must be in his heart. It's very difficult for me, and I just don't know what to do at this point. So basically, what would you guys recommend as a punishment, or how would you deal with this if someone came to you about this?
First of all, I would not allow him to be in any leadership position in the church whatsoever when you show that kind of blatant prejudice or anything like that. There's no room for that in the church. You know, Paul very clearly says Jew or Gentile, bond free. There is no, we're all saved by the blood of Jesus. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Any kind of talk like that is so far out of line, and it in no way, shape, or form reflects the love of Christ, and no way, shape, or form should be in any leadership in the church. And I would talk to your pastor about this and tell him that this stuff is not down. I would call him today and say, this stuff is not down. Why are we tolerating this? I can't invite people to this church knowing that this is your stand. This is not coming from some, you know, high school kid in the closet typing this stuff out and putting it on the internet. This is coming from your leadership, Pastor. And, you know, I would appreciate somebody coming to me in my church as an example. Joe, I'm sure you're the same way, with some kind of behavior like this. So I would go directly to the pastor and say, we need immediate remedial things going on here. And this guy needs to set out for a while to realize Jesus died for everybody, because evidently he probably doesn't know that, at least not from his posts. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I agree. Racism and hatred towards another person because of their skin color or their gender, yeah, it's a horrible thing. And even me as a pastor, if I knew someone in my leadership was doing that or posting those types of things, I would remove them from leadership right away. Of course, the goal of restoration would be there, but right now they wouldn't be at a place where they could serve. And then, of course, part of that restoration would be them taking those things down right away. It's just the idea, as you're leading, you're representing not only the church, but you're representing Jesus. And that represents Christ in no way. You know, we are all made in God's image. We're all made equally. We're all made with a purpose, regardless of our background. And so, you know, I agree with Pastor Mike. You got to just see, Paul, where you're at with leadership and the accountability they have. If you want to keep being part of this ministry, I would encourage you to reach out with the pastor and say, hey, he hasn't taken the things down yet. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. And if they're still not willing to do anything and he's still there in ministry, you know, you might consider praying and asking if God wants to lead you somewhere else, because it's just sad to allow something like this to continue and that person still serving without having a time of really letting God heal their heart of that sin. Because the reality is racism is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
the root there is there's sin in their life that needs to be dealt with. And so, Pastor Mike, I'll throw it back to you.
Well, Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. May you give Paul wisdom in addressing this, because this is not just hurting Paul's heart, but I'm sure probably most of the congregation is being hurt by this. And because of the recklessness of one man, could actually end this church. Because your creed to us is to love one another. And how can we love one another if we're doing that? You know, we have no choice over what color skin we were born with. We have no choice over how tall or how short we are. Now, if we're in personal sin, there is a choice there. And that, in fact, does need to be repented of. But when it comes to who we are, the way we were born, and what I mean by that is that, Lord, we're all just children needing you as a heavenly Father. I pray that you would give Paul the right words, God, to speak to his leadership there, and that they would understand the seriousness of this issue in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Paul, it is a serious issue. And I would not let it go. Is this something I would leave a church over if this was not corrected? Absolutely. Because I want to bring people to church where I know they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear that God loves them. They're going to know that they're loved by people. And when there's something like this, I'm not talking about somebody that's in willful sin. Oh, we love them. Well, sure, we love them. But we love them enough, as Paul said, to kick him out of the church until he repents. But you can't repent of your skin color. You can't repent whether you're tall or short. And this is one of the great problems that we find, and it really has no place in church whatsoever. So I hope that helps.
It does. It does very much. I appreciate both your advice.
And tell your pastor if he's a little troubled by this, I will be more than glad to talk to him about the seriousness of this problem. So, because it doesn't belong in any church where Jesus is Lord, where we say that we're to love one another in Christ. So I hope that helped, Paul.
It does. It does greatly.
All right. Well, you stay in line. I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. Maybe get it into your church's hands. They might enjoy that. And again, may the Lord just give you the right words, the right heart, not accusatory, but questioning, but that says, hey, listen, you know, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they're in agreement? And there is no way, shape, or form I can be in agreement to this kind of behavior. And are you going to stand with this guy, or are you going to remove him from this position? He cannot stay in that position, at least until he repents. So hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Paul. Thanks so much for the call. We're here for you if you need us. Let's go to Lisa in Charlotte, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I guess my question kind of piggybacks off of the gentleman you just addressed with his concern, because I guess I've always been under the impression that a sin is a sin regardless of what we do to sin.
Yep.
So what would be the difference if you have a couple living in sin but going to the church? I know that I think I hear at the very end that this person must have been a leader of the church. I guess I didn't catch that at the beginning of the call, if that's the case.
Yes, that was the case. That was the case.
Okay, okay. Well, that might have answered my question then, because it, yeah. I couldn't understand if it was that big of a, you know, I know it's a horrible thing because this is our culture today and it's such a, you know, a major thing and it affects so many people. But I was just curious on that. But I do have another little question, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, so my question would be, the devil is so super active right now, hard at work, trying to keep as many souls out of heaven and away from our destination as much as he can. But what makes him actually a loser in the end, other than him being condemned to all eternity with everyone he's harvested? I guess I don't see what would be his, I don't know. I mean, to me, he's winning, even though he doesn't long run for a few of us. But I'm not really sure how to take that or feel about that.
Well, of course, he's not winning, and it's still our Father's world. God, in his benevolent grace, and us being moral free agents, in other words, we can choose to live righteously, we can choose to be wicked. That is a decision that we make. Of course, the devil provides a rebellion path to go down, and we all see that. But the devil, the Bible says, is full of pride. We find this in Isaiah 14. If you've not read Isaiah 14, Lisa, you might read that. That'll give you a lot of insight on how perfect a creation Lucifer was, and that he kept not his first estate. You know, people often ask the question, well, can a Christian lose their salvation or their relationship with God? Well, certainly Lucifer did, and it says he was perfectly created. So, and he got kicked out of heaven. So, like I tell people, we want to take our relationship with serious. It's not works for us, but it is faith. Lucifer demonstrated a rebellion against God, and the third of the stars rebelled with him. We know these to be the demons, and we see their effect on this earth. We see their absolute hatred for human beings. And I believe that goes back to God making humans a little lower than the angels. We know that didn't bother the devil at all. But then when the Bible says he was going to elevate this creation that had never seen his glory, never seen his majesty, and yet still chose to serve him, he would elevate above the angels and call him his bride. I don't think that sat well with Lucifer. I don't think that sat well with the third of the host of heaven as well, that rebelled with Lucifer. And again, we find these angels that are chained in the bottom of the Euphrates River during the time of the tribulation, which are released, and they go out and kill a quarter of mankind on the earth. Why don't they go out and kill the trees or kill some whales or kill some lions and tigers and bears? No, they kill humans. What is it in the demonic world that wants to destroy human beings? I believe it's over this very thing. And so when we see this go on, I believe that, again, the devil, full of pride, leading his rebellion against God, this is why the Bible says he will be cast in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and never, ever be released ever again. Something we all have to remember is we're all eternal beings. That's right. Angels, humans, we all are eternal beings. Everybody exists somewhere forever. The Bible says if you accept Christ, you'll exist with him forever in eternity in this place called heaven where the Lord reigns supreme. And those that do not want Christ to rule over them, they go to a place of torment called hell. And it says in the book of Jude that they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. So it is not flash in the pan. Hell is not just a figment of your imagination, as some religions teach. It is a real place where real people go and demons go that are in rebellion to God, and is not annihilation. Clearly, the Bible says in the book of Job, they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. Now, well, my religion doesn't believe that. Then your religion is lying to you. Anybody listening? Because it says it's eternal. Very important. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, great, great question, Lisa. And it is true. We see spiritual warfare happening. And the reason the enemy is always attacking people and looking for who he may devour is because Satan hates God. And he knows that God unconditionally loves us. And so the way he hurts God's heart is by attacking his people. The reality is that once we get saved, that Christianity is not a playground, but it's a battleground. And there is real spiritual warfare going on. And I know there's times it may look like the enemy is winning. You know, the Bible says wide is the road to destruction and narrows the path to righteousness. And so we see this wide road where a lot of people are falling for the enemy's tricks and going down this pathway of destruction. And so it may look like we're losing the battle right now. But, you know, when Jesus was crucified to his disciples, it looked like he was losing the Bible. In fact, they had given up and just gone back to the old occupations they used to do. But we know that 3 days later, he resurrected, winning that battle. And we know at the end of the book, as we read Revelations, he wins this battle as well. You know, in a war, what determines who wins the battle isn't who has more casualties, but what determines who won the war, who won the battle, is who's in control at the end. And we know at the very end that Satan's going to be cast into the abyss and that God is going to be in control. In fact, the scripture says one day, it's not today, but one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's victory. You know, one day Jeffrey Epstein is going to bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. One day the Kardashians are going to bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. One day every knee will bow. And that's a victory at the end. Pastor Mike?
So again, you know, it's the battle of the invisible empires. The devil is not winning. It's very clear who wins in the end. It's all written down in the Bible. That's why we love to read the Bible, because we do know we do win. And I read the book. In fact, we do win. But this world was given into Satan's hands in the garden. This is where the curse came from. This is why we only live to be about 70, 80, 90. Some people get to go maybe 100, 110. That's it. We're under the curse of death. The day you eat of the tree is the day you die. Well, their spirit did die that day. And this is the rebellion that came in. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, a high-ranking religious leader of the day, he said, "You marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again," in John chapter 3, because there's something lacking inside of man. We have no internal guidance system. It's been destroyed by sin. But God puts that back into us when we become born again. Lisa, I hope that helps.
It does. I think I was really looking at the volume of souls that will ultimately be condemned to hell because of Satan's work. And I was kind of looking at that as a win for him. But then when it was explained that it's not the number of casualties, basically, it kind of flipped my brain to look at it a different way. And I do agree. I do read the Bible, and I'm in my 60s now, so I kind of know a lot. But I think I just focus on so much is going on in this world right now, and it just makes me wonder, how is he losing? I know he loses in the end, but I guess my heart hurts for all those souls that will be lost because of his wickedness and deception. And I was seeing that as a win for him, but in reality, it's not. And it won't be a win for him at the utter end either. So I was just looking in the wrong direction. But yeah, I totally get that.
Well, you got to remember you know, the devil makes his suggestions. That doesn't mean we have to partake of it. And again, the Bible says, you know, straight is the way and narrow the road, and few there be that find it. But broad is the road to destruction. You know, I think it's even interesting, as I listen to the rock and roll songs over the last 30, 40 years. You know, you have Led Zeppelin with a song called Stairway to Heaven. You have one of the other bands, Highway to Hell. I guess they're anticipating the travel on both roads. See, even the world knows that. And so you don't have to stick your head in a trash can to know that it stinks. And this is what the devil offers the world. Stick your head in here. And they do. And this is why I believe the world is in the condition it is. God put man in a beautiful place, but man refused to live there. We're going to do it our way. God says, you can do anything you want. Just don't eat of that tree. Yeah. Well, we're going to do it anyway. And you know, man has been going his own way ever since. The Bible says it's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, there's destruction. I just really want to, for everybody listening, if you're a Christian, you are so blessed that your life will mean something in eternity. You're not just existing from day to day, but that you actually, your footprints are divinely set by God. And so this is one of the great things of being, as Jesus said, our Father. You have a daddy. If you're not Christian, you don't have a daddy. You're just going along with whatever fad trend the world is offering. And that's why you're miserable. And I just want to encourage you, hey, come to home. Come to a real loving Father that'll restore you and bless you, because that's important. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, and Lisa, I just appreciate your heart as your Amen. Heart is broken and hurt as we see so many being led astray. Me too, man. My heart hurts and breaks. And the only one whose heart is broken more than ours is Jesus. Amen. You know, there's a story in the Gospels of Jesus looking over Jerusalem, and he's weeping. He's crying for his people who are lost. And he says, man, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. That he longs for people to be saved. He loves this world so much that he died and suffered so they could be saved. But then in that same verse, he says, but you would not. In other words, you wouldn't choose me. I gave you every opportunity. And so although there is the enemy bringing temptation, the other part of temptation is people giving in. And tragically, it breaks God's heart when he sees that. But as we look at the overview of Scripture, we know that in the end, God is ultimately victorious, and his heart does break for those who reject him. Pastor Mike?
Amen. I hope that helps there.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Been listening to you for many, many years.
Well, good. And Lisa, if you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Julie in Washington. Hi, welcome.
I'm so excited to get to talk to you guys. The brief synopsis is I have a best friend, and they go to a non-denominational church. And she's frustrated with me because I've left that denomination and I go to a church that uses musical instruments. Mm-hmm. And she thinks, according to the New Testament only, she doesn't want references from the Old Testament, that that is not of God. And then it goes against the scripture, sing and make music in your heart.
Oh, well, I got a question. In their church, do they have church pews? Yeah. Well, that's not in the early church. Do they have electric lights in their building? Yeah. Well, that's not in the New Testament church in the book, anywhere in the New Testament found. Do they have door locks on their doors? Well, that's not found anywhere. See, what I'm saying is, how far do you want to, do they have carpet on the floor? It makes no sense. They're willy-nilly going through. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Where in the Bible does it say that you cannot have, in the New Testament, musical instruments to worship God? They just make it up. Well, yeah, of course we're supposed to worship God in our hearts. But it doesn't say you can't praise him as King David did. Psalms 150, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, the New Testament does command us to sing, but as Pastor Mike mentioned, it doesn't prohibit musical instruments being in the church. And so I think if it's a thing of preference, if one church wants to do a cappella, that's fine. But if a church does want to use instruments to glorify and praise God, the Bible doesn't prohibit that. And I never want to add commands or add ideas to God's word. I just want to follow it as it is. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, so I would just really, once again, dear, just tell her, where does it prohibit musical instruments in the New Testament, and why do you have electric lights in your church? Because they're not found in the New Testament church either. And we can go on down the line from carpet to whatever else you want to add in there. If they're going to do this to one area, You've got to do it to all. See, this is where false doctrine comes in. And the thing is, remember this, everybody. We go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, not because we have a flute in our church or we sing a cappella. That isn't what makes us saved. It's our personal relationship with our Father in heaven. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. But worshiping God with musical instrument, friends, is not a law. Hope that helps. Joe, thanks so much for being on.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for your question. If that didn't answer for you, you're certainly welcome, dear, to call us tomorrow. And for everybody else, we'll put you on first thing. Just call us and you'll be on. Until the Lord comes back, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night.
That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.